Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the For Real Zo podcast with Amanda and Jessica.
Hi.
We are excited to be back and record another, or do another episode with you guys. So, yeah, I'm going to let Jessica take the lead because she sent me a link to watch and she's excited to kind of share about this topic today.
Yeah, so I have been pretty incensed for the last probably month now. Started following on Instagram this woman named Midlife Muse, and she's this beautiful middle-aged woman, full gray hair, and she comes on and she just does like inspirational reminders where it's like, you know what, you're worthy, even though you're 45, even though you're 60, even though, you know, whatever. And then she'll post these little comments or these little statements to remind us as middle-aged women that we don't have to succumb to what our previous generations succumbed to, how society defines our beauty or anything like that. So I had watched a bunch and I was like, oh, we need to do a podcast about this. But she has, it's right in the middle of all of her posts. There's this one little question that she has. And I wanted to ask you today to start off this conversation and to make my point. And I want all of our listeners to ask the same question to themselves. But the question is, when was the first time that comments were made to you about your physical appearance that hurt? The comments hurt.
Probably middle school, I would say. Yeah.
What was the comment and what was it about? And who made the comment? That's important too.
Well, so I don't have like, I don't know, remember maybe the first time, but I do remember a specific conversation that boys were having about how this one, like who was going to look better, like as we aged or as we got older based on how we looked then. And so they were specifically talking about aging and comparing our looks with each other and like saying, she's going to age when she gets older, she's going to be really pretty, but you look better now, but I think she's going to like really grow and look better as she gets, I don't know, just like, but mm-hmm. They weren't talking like elderly. They were talking like 20s, like once they get out of high school, they're really going to blossom, and just talking about how like, just looks like comparison to looks. And then that made me really like reflect on that and think about it longer. Like I was thinking like, oh my gosh, how am I going to look as I get older? Like, is she going to be prettier than me? Or am I going to, is she somebody that's going to look age more gracefully than me? Or, you know, those kind of things. But I remember that conversation specifically because it like lingered in my head. Like it was something that like really like made me reflect on my looks. But then I was like, they don't know what they're talking about. You know, I like told myself like, this is a stupid conversation. I don't even know why, like they have no clue like how we're going to look and why this even occurred. But it was interesting that they, I don't know where that would even come from or why they would do that or why they would start like comparing our looks and telling us who's going to look better when we got older. And it was interesting.
When was the first time that you thought or got sucked into the belief that your looks defined you in one way or another? Your physical appearance?
I think in middle school for sure.
Yeah.
It was the type of conversations and like the interest in boys around you and like, it impacted your confidence and like how you thought about yourself and if you're attractive or not. And then girls noticing that too, like other girls pointing out like the guys are interested in you and they're not interested in me, or he likes you and I like him, maybe I'm not as pretty as you, or, you know, those kind of comparisons. And like, I think it really starts when there's the interest between boys and girls really starts, you know, like, you know, in elementary, it's just all fun and games and you're not really thinking about boyfriends and girlfriends and you're just kind of going to school and hanging out. You don't really think about, I mean, I think there was some, a little bit of who's cute, who's not, but not to the extent as it is in middle school where it's a time where people start dating and wanting to have boyfriends and girlfriends and having crushes and thinking, oh, he's cute, but then he likes my friend. Am I not cute enough? Mm-hmm. Is, you know, those types of things. What about you? What did you, when did you notice these things?
Well, the when she posted this post and asked this question, I immediately knew. I thought of the exact moment, the very first time that I was around 11 or 12, and I had a huge growth spurt in that period of time, and that's when my body got stretch marks for the first time. And I didn't know what they were, right? But they weren't attractive. And I thought I was doing a good job at keeping them hidden, right? I was ashamed of them. And I had no reason to be ashamed of them. I just was ashamed of them. And I thought I was the only one who this happened to, whatever. And I overheard, I think we had been in the front yard, I was living in Louisiana at the time. We were in the front yard. And we had all had a water fight in our bathing suits at that age. And there was family members around. I don't remember exactly what family members, like extended family. And I'm walking near the kitchen in this house that we were living in. But the people who were in the kitchen are not known to me at this time. They don't know that I'm there, that I'm in within earshot of what they're saying. And it's my stepmom talking to one of her sisters, so one of my step aunts, talking about my stretch marks in a negative tone. And I overhear this and I'm literally devastated because I'm already mortified that I have them, right? And I don't see anybody, any of my other cousins or anybody, any of my friends that have them, right? And I'm just like, and I was so devastated because a family member, someone who's supposed to love me unconditionally, is talking negatively about a body part and a physical attribute that I can't change. I can't do anything about stretch marks. Like there's nothing that can be done. And I was so embarrassed. I was so upset. I was enraged too. There was a level of like anger. Like how could you do that behind my back? But second of all, I can't do anything about this. How am I judged on this? This isn't fair. So it was like all these huge emotions. And when I confronted my mom about it later in the day, because obviously I can't keep anything under wraps when it comes to how I feel. And if I hold on to it, I can't hold on to it for long. she dismissed it and denied it, even though I heard it with my own ears, and then called me paranoid. So that was the beginning of me learning what the word paranoid was, because I had to go look that shit up in the dictionary. Oh my God. So basically, I experienced on that day a litany of things. One, I couldn't trust my stepmom. Two, and that I'd been betrayed, right? Two, that stretch marks were bad and they were negative and I had them. Three, when I expressed my feelings about what was done and what I heard being done, it was denied. I wasn't allowed to have those feelings, and I was called a name that also is a negative thing. I mean, there were so many things as a female at 11 or 12 years old that I'm learning instantly that society is about to indoctrinate me as. Like, get ready, Jessica, because this is what your role is here. And I obsessed. I spent the next decade obsessing over those stretch marks and wishing I didn't have them, hating my body parts that had them. Like, that was the beginnings of a lifetime. I would say that probably 5 years ago, 5 to 7 years ago is when I finally made peace and started learning to love my body. But I had to learn to love my body because I had to unlearn hating my body.
Because I remember when I got stretch marks too, because I think it's pretty common for, you know, especially if you go through a quick growth spurt to get stretch marks. But my situation is totally opposite. And just to share, because for the listeners, like how you react is impact, because my mom said, oh, that's normal. Like everybody gets those. It's not a big deal. Don't even think about it. And then I didn't. I never thought about it. And then Grace, I noticed Grace has stretch marks on her legs and she never said anything. And so I said, oh, you have some stretch marks there. And I just pointed it out. And then I was like, I go, that's just normal. Don't worry about it. We all get those and it's a part of growing. And I wouldn't even think about it. Even though she didn't ask me, she's never like expressed concern. I just wanted her to know, like, in case she was worried, like, it's not that big a deal, because I remember that comfort and peace of my mom telling me, like, it's not a big deal. Don't think about it. It's just something that happens to our bodies as we grow, especially if we grow really fast. And like, it's something you can't control. Like you said, we can't control it. It's just something our bodies do, and it's just there. It's just is. It is what it is. Like, so
that experience makes all the difference for
it does
years, for decades for it does. A female. So the whole reason that I wanted to have this podcast is because I do strongly believe that the women in this society, and I say this society because it could be happening in London, it could be happening in France. I have no idea. I just know America right now. But in this current society are having a self-worth crisis. I was doing some research previous to this podcast, and it's been said that women on any given day are putting 160, 170 chemicals in their bodies, on their skin, in their bodies every day. And in some sort of attempt or, a mechanism in order to attempt to look different than they are. And that is making us so sick. How many women do you know have some sort of autoimmune disease or some sort of thyroid issue or have had cancer or are about to have cancer or maybe getting diagnosed with cancer and their parents did it or their grandparents didn't? Like, how many people do you know, women specifically, that you know? Like, I know a ton that are battling some sort of autoimmune disease.
Yeah, especially most women. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So I think that we are creating our own illnesses. We are, as women. And I say we are because we are subjecting ourselves to these standards that I don't think we have to be. I don't think we necessarily need to. And I'm just mad as hell about it. I'm so mad about it. And I just
just the physical health, you know, the autoimmune or the health issues, but then the mental health impacts that it has, because the stress, like you said, of all these years of like stressing about how you look or stressing about, oh my God, I'm aging or these wrinkles or my skin too red or like all this like obsession over it, like mentally takes up so much energy and space.
Yes.
And then you have the physical impact, and then the combination of the two leads to a bad result, because your mental state impacts your physical state.
Yes.
And if you're obsessed about this and you're consumed with it and you're always worried about it and it's always in the back of your head, like I just don't look good enough. I don't appear the way I want to appear. I'm unhappy with my body. I'm unhappy with my aging. I'm unhappy with this or that. Then all that energy and all that time going into those thoughts doesn't allow you to be free to have the thoughts you should be having about the impact of the world and the good you can do and the happy experiences you can have and all these things that like life is all about, because we're so consumed with how our body looks and how our face looks and how we look, and we just need to like be okay more and accepting more so we can put that aside and really be here and show up for what we're meant to show up for.
Yeah. And I, last night I was visiting with a friend that I don't get to see very often. She was in town for a little bit, and I've always looked up to her and valued her because of her standards. She didn't ever succumb to societal standards. She was dyeing her hair years and years and years ago to get rid of some of the grays, but eventually she just stopped. She was like, I'm done. And she's got these beautiful, she's got gorgeous hair. Like, it's gorgeous. It's full and beautiful. And she's got these beautiful stripes of white that are everywhere. And it's so pretty. And so she also has a darker skin tone. And so she's had, as the years have gone on, she's getting melasma. And so she's got these splotches, but she's never done anything about it. And I always just thought it was so healthy and beautiful that she was just here out in the world. I noticed when I was talking to her last night, we were talking about hair because she was telling me how long my hair's gotten. And I was like, I need to get a trim. I only get a trim once a year because I hate it. I hate paying $1 million and I just can't find a hairdresser that sticks with me. And she's like, yeah, I stopped dyeing my hair years ago. I said, I know, it's gorgeous. I love it. And I said, and think about all the chemicals you're not putting in your head, you know, because it goes right into your scalp and then boom, it's right in your whole system. And she's like, yeah. But then I did notice that her melasma has been broken up and it's lighter. Her skin tone is lighter. And so as we're talking, she continues on and talks about how she's getting she's going to a med spa now, and she's getting all these treatments on her face. And she thinks that it's lightening up. And I told her, yeah, it is. It's working. Whatever you're doing is working. But we were talking about all these different products that she's been using, and she's finally using beef tallow, some sort of a beef tallow lotion for her face. And she's, it's the only thing now that doesn't cause it to break out and cause any skin issues. But I was just thinking afterwards, I was like, what caused her? She's in her 50s. What caused her to start going to a med spa and trying to treat the dark splotches on her skin? What happened? Somebody said something somewhere, because before she was fine with it and now she's changing. And I was so like, I mean, sure, her skin looks a little bit clearer, it's brighter, whatever, if that's what she's looking for. But she's spending a lot of money on that. I know what those things cost, because I looked into them about 10 years ago when I started getting my splotches. And it's so expensive. And I'm like, for what? I mean, you have to upkeep. The upkeep on those is forever. So I thought, it's so good that we're doing this podcast tomorrow, because that was last night. And I didn't say that to her, right? I'm just thinking about this in my head. And I'm just like, there's a movement, and there's a movement that needs to occur within women in our society, where it is not necessary to do those things. It is not necessary to throw 160 freaking chemicals in our body and in our systems, in our bloodstream, so that we can appear less wrinkly or less splotchy.
Yeah, so I mean, and no judgment at all, because you and I have both made choices to do like things like, you know, we all make choices. So if you're doing that, there's no judgment. What I would like to see is just the respect or the not judgment towards women who choose not to, you know. Yeah. Like if she, maybe that was that pressure that society was around her, like all these other women are doing this. And like you said, maybe there was some comment made by other women, like, you should go do this or whatever, instead of kind of embracing the fact that she did it. Like, you know, if that's the choice that some people make, great, and that's fine. But then let's embrace the women who want to age naturally and not have that judgment towards it, because then that allows for that to happen more. But you're right. Society's put all this pressure for everyone. I mean, you recently sent me these pictures of like Jennifer Aniston and Courtney Cox and Nicole Kidman. And I mean, if you haven't noticed and been shocked by like some of the celebrity images.
It started because of Shania Twain. She doesn't even look like herself anymore.
Like, this cannot be her. But yeah, so I guess for me, one of the concerns is I don't want that reaction for people. I always want to look like myself. Yeah. I don't want to like alter myself so I look so abnormal, you know. But then there's that pressure to do that. So with aging, and I guess, yeah, it's tricky because it has been so ingrained in a part of our society. Then the women that don't do it, there's that judgment there of, oh my gosh, she needs to use more or do whatever types of stuff to her face. When it used to be the total opposite, it was more rare to do that. And more people didn't do that. Like, you know, like my mom's generation, who's like the boomer generation, a lot of that stuff wasn't even available.
Right. So I'm glad you brought up the judgment part. I'm glad you brought that up, because a couple of years ago, I posted something similar to what we're talking about on one of my social media pages. And I just have to say this. I had a friend whom I considered at the time very close commented. And it was a very defensive comment. But I was posting about Botox specifically. And she attacked me, because she knows that I currently have breast implants, and I got them 15 years ago for a completely inappropriate reason. And she knows that. And so she attacked me for posting what I posted about Botox, knowing that I have an enhancement an unnatural enhancement within my body right now. And I was so disappointed because I didn't feel like I was judging. It was an informative post. It was so that people knew that Botox is a neurotoxin and that if you're doing it, you're literally choosing to put poison in your body. And yes, the same could be said about silicone or saline or whatever is in the bags and your breast implants inside your body. But we did not know 15 years ago what we know now. And also, the reason that I did these implants, I don't even have, it was for that husband that I had at the time. And I don't even have that husband anymore. Like, that didn't make a difference. And so that should be a lesson to every woman. Don't do that for a man. But it was so shocking to me how quick a woman would turn on another woman when all the first woman was doing was trying to inform and educate all the women out there that I know are using this product. I was just educating. I was just like, stop doing this. Look what it has inside of it. It was the first day I had discovered that Botox was a neurotoxin, right? I had talked about it with my girlfriends. Look at these dang wrinkles. I've got some wrinkles here that are so deep. Like, I thought about it until I really looked into it. And I was like, whoa, everyone needs to know this. And I was like, does everyone know this? Because I'm not going to put this in my body. Anyway, my point is, it was this society and this self-worth crisis is run so deep that we're literally turning on our beloved people, our friends, to defend our own actions. We'll turn on them in a second. We'll be mean. We'll be nasty just to defend our own choices that are making us sick.
Yeah. And I remember the post, and you weren't being mean towards women that were doing it. You were just only, yeah, you were putting it out there like, hey, this is the information I found, and just, you know, it's important to know what we're doing, what we're using, and yeah. So,
well, and it was important to me to post it and make it known for a couple of other reasons, because I was in my health coaching phase where I was getting my health coaching certificate, and that was like a 9-month process for me, and I was learning about all these health things, and I had a person in my life that once I got this health coaching certificate, she said I could come work at her med spa, and they were doing Botox. So it was so life-changing for me to discover I'm not going to be a part of that movement, that Botox movement, when I get my health coaching certificate, because I have discovered what that causes for our bodies, like what that neurotoxin does to our bodies. That's counterproductive to health coaching, in my opinion. I'm going to be coaching people to be healthier. And I'm not going to tell them, and I'm not going to work at a place that's shooting them with freaking poison. That's not going to happen. So it was all of those things that were happening in my life at the time where I was defining what's healthy, what's not, and putting them all in their boxes, right? And then deciding, what am I going to do with my health coaching afterwards for women? And it's not just for men, but I am passionate about women's topics in life, obviously. So so I think that I just want to see, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I just want to see women opening their eyes to the manipulation that is occurring to us on a daily basis. I want to create, this midlife muse says, create new tables to sit at and invite women to sit at them. Let's not sit at the tables that have already been created for us and then try to conform to whatever those tables say we have to do. Let's create new tables and say, no, we're not putting 160 poisons in our body anymore. We're not doing that. I don't need 160. The beef tallow is fine. That's my lotion. It makes my skin feel great. And I know that it's doing good things for my body systems in whole. It's a bioidentical. The body knows what to do with it. You throw all those, just go into your cabinet and look at the back of your products. What the hell are all those ingredients? They're like man-made chemicals that your body's like building up in your liver and your kidney. And that's how we get these autoimmune diseases. That's how we get these thyroid diseases. And that's how we get cancer. And I just really want a movement, and I want it to be everywhere.
Right. And you're super passionate about not just women products, but products in general. Like, you're super passionate about the food we eat and not just, yeah, just in general, you're all about the natural approaches in avoiding, like, even medicines we don't need to take, or ingesting things we don't need to ingest, or that kind of thing. And it's tricky because, there's a balance, because, sometimes we have to take medicines, and we have to do things that we, because we get to a point where we need it. And so it's not saying that, you can't do any of those things, but just be more aware. That's the whole point, is just be more aware of, like, what's going on? What are you putting in your body? Is that something you feel comfortable about? Don't feel pressured to do it because everyone else is doing it. Make that choice for yourself. And if it's still the choice you want to make, that's fine. But just be informed and be aware
Yeah,
that.
that's what I'm asking. Educate yourself. Just,
Right.
I'm not judging either. I'm not judging. I'm calling out something I'm seeing that is making me so sad, and it's making me so angry because it's something that's been placed on us since we were born,
It's
and I'm
that
not even,
the people are being pressured into it, not really knowing what they're doing.
and I
That's
don't think that they're even aware that it's happening. It's
right.
so subconscious, and it has been ingrained in us since such an early age that I don't think a lot of women understand it. And I have to bring up this Ozempic movement. I have to bring it up for a couple of reasons. One, because it has already been proven to be a bowel obstructor, and there's been a lot of studies that have shown, but I know women who are doing it and they're having GI issues at a level that is stupid. It's like, why do we put ourselves through
I know, right?
just to lose 30 pounds?
Right. Is it worth
But then,
to have, like, medical complications in your life, or even have,
that
severe you never had before to lose this weight? And I know we say that we've tried, but have you really tried, like, naturally at your fullest extent, like with all your might? I mean, we really haven't. To be honest, like, many of us are like half-assing trying something, but if you can honestly say, I've literally tried everything and you've tried it to the core, like, you've committed to it for at least a year with no cheats, no, and you still haven't lost weight, then, I mean, it's just like we're not being honest and realistic with ourselves. We want an easy fix. And I get it. Because it's the idea sounds nice, like, to not have to work so hard at something and lose weight easier. Like, we have busy lives, we have busy schedules. It's hard to commit. It's hard to say no to, like, going out to eat and these, like, life pleasures and enjoyments, and to really, like, sacrifice and take the time to lose the weight ourselves, versus, like, having a drug that makes it easier for us. And so I think you just, again, it's all about being informed and, like, knowing, like, okay, these are the two options. Do which one is better for me? Which one's more healthy? Which one, and also authentic. Which one's more authentic to me? Not what society's telling me I should do, what not all my friends are telling me I should do, but when I really think about myself and what I want for my life, my body, my health, and knowing that you want to live a long, healthy life, hopefully. Like, what is the right choice for me? And, like, what do I want to, what do I stand for? What do I want my kids to see? Because that's another aspect, is, like, if you're always showing your children that you're not good enough with how you look, you have to alter it all the time because the way you look right now is not enough and you need to change. Then the message you're sending to your kids is that they're not enough the way they are. They need to alter what how they look because.
And I would say that the repercussions of all of this unhealthy living for a whole lifetime, and I'm not even, I'm halfway through my lifetime, right? Hopefully. The repercussions are, I am now sitting here with thyroid disease, with autoimmune issues, and I trying to go back and fix that shit is so complicated because as my body's moving into menopause or premenopause, my hormones are already jacked up, but because of the thyroid challenges and the autoimmune challenges I've got, now I've got these hormones that are way out of whack, and I'm trying to fix that right now. And if I had just known what I knew before, before all of that, I could have prevented this. I could have avoided all of this hard work that I'm having to do right now to get myself where I'm supposed to be as a 47-year-old woman physically.
Right.
And
To be honest, though, we don't think about that in our 20s. Like, I don't, you just don't, like, you just don't care. Like, you're like, oh, it's not that big a deal. Like, you don't think, well, when I'm in my 40s, or even in your early 30s, you're like, you don't really think about it until it happens, until you're at this age, and then you're like, oh my gosh, what did I do to myself, or why did I make those choices? Or like, I mean, I have this happen all the time when I do, because I do disability exams for people, and people that have like worked these hard jobs, like in construction, or like they're physically just make their bodies do all these repeated things over and over, that are not natural, that are not okay. And then every single one of them says to me, if I would have only known, like when I was, like been aware, like how this was going to impact me in my life, because, this is not how I thought my 40s, 50s, 60s were going to look, and
Yep.
how I spent my 20s and 30s impacted that time, this time frame. And now I can't enjoy my life anymore. I
Yep.
can't enjoy, like, I have nothing to look forward to. That's how they feel, because their body has been so depleted and drained that now they have to live the rest of their life with this body that's not doing what they want it to do anymore. And they're struggling getting it to even to a functional place at all. So even
Exactly.
through their day-to-day, like just natural day-to-day life, I ask my every person, like, how are you with doing just day-to-day tasks, day-to-day chores? And people literally can't get off the couch. But, and it's not just physical, it's mental too, because all the
Yeah.
mental strain they put on themselves for, the last 2 decades, that now they literally can't even leave their house or get off their couch because they're so physically and mentally depleted by what they've done to their bodies.
Right. Going back
That's
to
extreme, but it happens a lot.
Yeah, it does. It does. And I'm living it right now. I cannot function normally on certain areas of my life because I'm trying to get back what I lost and the damage that was done because I didn't know what I didn't know, right? And so that I understand, I totally get it. And I'm not as bad off as some of your patients, right? And hopefully I don't acquire cancer due to all the shit that's floating around in my body right now and the dysfunctions that are going on. But it wouldn't surprise me if that happens. It wouldn't at all, knowing what I know now. Knowing how cancer is formed, what contributes to it. It doesn't matter that I worked out for about, half of my life, like really hard and stayed fit. It doesn't matter. That does not matter. And also, physical appearance doesn't matter either because you have no idea what's going on inside your body. And everybody's body treats these chemicals differently and does different things with it.
True.
So I think that, that's what the one of the part of these purposes of having this podcast to all our listeners is like we need to pay attention. It's time. It's time to pay attention. It's time to raise our females different. It's time to raise our males different. Raise your boys to think differently about what's important, and to pay attention to things that maybe the previous generations didn't pay attention to. The thing that drives me the craziest about this whole emphasis on physical appearance is when women are doing something probably harmful to themselves in order to look a certain way, grown ass women, and then they're out posting on social media or telling all their friends that they're doing something different instead of telling the truth about what they're doing. And then all these other women who look up to them, who are friends with them, are comparing themselves immediately and going, well, I worked out for 8 weeks and I walked 45 minutes a day and I ate this and that and I don't look like that. Why is that? And it's that I can't stand. I cannot stand that we're not even being honest with everyone around us, with ourselves. That makes a bad situation 10 times worse. It's like there's a problem when you can't even tell your entire community, yeah, I'm doing Ozempic. Honestly, that's what I'm doing. It's worth it to me to potentially destroy my organs in order to lose 30 pounds right now. I don't even care what the long-term repercussions are. They can't even be honest with themselves that they made that choice and they won't, or they aren't telling their fellow females in their lives And we're all looking at him like, whoa, that's amazing. But the problem is it's happening right now because of this Ozempic movement. It's happening so much. All these women around me are dropping 30 to 40 pounds like overnight. It's to the point where it's, and none of them are admitting that they're using Ozempic. None of them are. Some are saying that like ridiculous things like this happened in 8 weeks. I worked out in 8 weeks and look how my body looks. And they're showing before and afters. And I'm like, are you kidding me? We're not dumb. Other women are like, oh, I healed emotionally. And look, I lost 40 pounds. You're like, no, come on.
It's not reality. So
it just makes it worse. It makes everything worse. It feeds this fear, this perpetual fear. It feeds that self-worth crisis worse, gives it more ammunition, makes us all feel like crap about ourselves, even worse than we did before we saw this person lying to us about how they lost their 30 pounds.
Right. Yeah. I think it's like, I don't remember sitting around thinking about, I mean, I knew that my family members or people that were older looked older than me. And I don't remember sitting around thinking, oh my gosh, they look so bad because they're older. I was just known that they were older than me. Like grandmas look a certain way, or you know, people that are older look a certain way. And like just being okay with that. And I think that somewhere along the line, we became not okay with aging or something. And then, which I think nobody's ever liked, right? Nobody likes that their bodies don't work as good or they don't look as good as they used to. It is hard to grasp. Like, you know, I noticed like the other night when I went to the concert, we were taking selfies with I went with my stepdaughter and my daughter and her friend. When I took the picture, I immediately noticed, oh my gosh, they look so young and pretty. And I look so old compared to them. Like I noticed that, you know, and like to feel like wanting to look that youthful way again, because you remember like feeling attractive and looking better. And there is that like pull to like want to feel and look that way again. But then it's not reality. You know, I'm not that age anymore. And so then I'm not going to look like that. But I think that's just an example of like how society's made us like focus on like our appearance and our looks and not embracing like our age. And there is beauty in, with aging, and there is like different wisdom that comes with it. And I mean, but we don't talk about that. We just talk about like, we just focus on those little flaws, and then that we become consumed with it. And then how can I fix this and get it better, instead of like really just owning it, you know?
Yeah. Back in the day, many other cultures, not American culture, obviously, centuries and centuries ago, those cultures revered the older generations. And that they call it the crone phase, right? It's that final phase in women's lives where they are the wisest they're going to be. They're old, they're wrinkly, but it was revered. You were a very valuable member of the society that you were in and the culture that you were in, because you had all of this wisdom and all of this experience to offer to these younger generations that were coming up. And somewhere, I don't know when and where, but it flipped. And we were no longer, the crones were no longer revered. We were no longer valued. And that's why we're sticking our old population in old folks' homes, right? Before, we all lived in this culture where everybody lived with everybody. So you had like three different generations under one roof in one little, you know, section, living together and benefiting off of all of the knowledge and experiences that each one of them had to offer, right? And the young ones were keeping the old ones young, and the old ones were teaching the young ones all kinds of great things that, you know, that they might need to know so they don't make stupid mistakes. And we don't do that as a culture anymore. And we don't value the older generations, men or women. We don't value them. They're not a valued member of our society anymore. And well, so these women
are definitely more than women. I mean, look at, if you would admit our male presidents the last several times, I mean, they should be retired. But we still value them because we put these roles of like, well, he's, you know, a man at this age, but women, Would we hire a woman that's 76 to be a president? Well, first of all, we've never even hired a woman to be a president.
Right.
But then, second of all, to put a woman in a position like that,
No, she'll be like 35.
the youngest president ever is a woman who's in 25,
And then
because
she'll have to be very fashionable and she'll have to have perfect hair all the time, or else she's going to get all kind of judgments. It's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that we did. We lost our way. We lost our way, and we no longer care to the extent that we should. And so us women are trying to dial it back. We're trying to turn the clock back and be like, no, I'm not old. Look, I'm still valuable. Look, I'm so pretty still. But I'm here for it. I am so ready for us to change this mindset and just be like, you know what? Look at my wrinkles. Look at my age spots. It's fine. But guess what else I've got? Lots of knowledge and lots of experience to share with you guys. And I can't wait for you guys to hear what I have to say. And I think that that's that. Oh, and then the grays, of course, right? Because I'm not coloring my hair anymore. But I just think that that's, I'm ready. I'm ready for us to flip the switch and go back to that mindset where we do hold a value. We hold a position. We're not the position we were before. We are a different position, and we embracing it. Just all of us embracing that.
It kind of reminds me of the video you sent me yesterday of we follow this astrologer named Renata, and she was talking about how we like for the last 20 years it was all about boss babe and you and all this like you can make six figures in 6 months and all this like unrealistic stuff that was happening. And then now it's back to like people really noticing that and being like, this is bullshit. Like, this is unrealistic. It's not true. Like, we want actually the people that are being more authentic are standing out. And the people that are able to, we just notice online and on social media the originality and the intention went and the boss babe and the 6 months and six or 6 figures in 6 months things is just like everybody's rolling their eyes to it. And maybe this next 20 years is also about like, this is dumb. Like, do we really need to like have all this stuff on our skin and be like this group mentality of like, oh, look at me. We're so similar to the boss babe thing. Like, can we go back to the original, authentic, original person instead of trying to be and look like everybody else and be this person that is unrealistic because we're all striving to be this boss babe. We're all striving to be this appearance. We're all striving to be like this group mentality of like this concept or idea, but only in a few are getting to the top and the rest of us are getting autoimmune diseases. Like the only the I don't know, it's just like the whole the correlation there is like it reminds me of each other. Like
Well, I mean, I would ask you, how many times have you been in a group of women and you thought, like, what happened to me last night? You revered a woman for her, what you believed were her choices, and then all of a sudden in your conversation with all these women, you discover this and this and this about these women that shock you, and you're like, what? Yeah, it was so, like, it's been disconcerting as I'm sitting in these groups of women and learning, oh yeah, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And I was like, ah, oh, I thought that was natural. I thought you were natural, and it's not. And I think it's because I'm in a more natural minded mindset right now, because I have switched over my lifestyle, but also because of all the things I learned in my health coaching lessons, that I'm just like, I'm in that mindset. So I'm looking to align with women like that. And when I think they are aligned with me, and then I find out they're not, I just can't, I don't know what to do with that disappointment.
well, you're on this mission too to get your health back and get all those things out of your system and to be healthy and to, like you said, you're struggling, doing the things the way you want to be able to do them. And so you're really all about getting to that place. And you don't want to, you always have been one to like share your knowledge, like, this is what I've learned. And don't make this mistake that I did, because then you're gonna
Yes.
struggle like me. And then so when you see that, you're like, oh, I see all this being a disaster, and I don't want that for you. I want you to be like, yeah, you foresee the things that can be bad results.
Well, I think, yeah. I mean, I think that number one, boomer generation failed all their females they raised. The boomer generation just did. They did not tell us anything. We had to learn.
They really did.
I mean, if somebody had been in my life and said, looked at those stretch marks when I was 11, 12 years old and been like, that's fine. You're fine. This doesn't change who you are. It doesn't define you, Jessica. I'd have had the same experience as you. I'd have been like, oh, I'm fine, right? But no, it was not what happened. No one sat down with me and said, these things are going to happen. Get ready for them because it's not defining you and it's going to be okay. And you're fine. I, thank goodness, did not raise my girls that way. And I have told them probably way more than they even wanted to know.
Right.
I think that's like, I'm not letting that happen.
Her mom, she did say that. But I do think you're right in the fact that I think they were so consumed with maybe how the generation before them raised them.
Yes, which was like secret. Like, don't talk about anything.
Yeah. So I think they really struggled with what, like, being able to even know who they were, mm-hmm. to even be able to share stuff with us. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just think they, and then they, so then Gen X came along and we figured a lot of shit out.
And we're super jaded as a result, I'll tell you that. Yeah. We're the most jaded group.
I know. TikToks or reels recently that have talked about, like, why does everybody not talk about this generation? Like, it skips from boomer to millennials. And it does. Yep. It's so true. They're so right. Like, we don't get talked about. And the reaction to those posts are hilarious. I've seen so many of them. And they're just like, the reason why is you don't mess with us. Like, we got nothing from our generation before us. We had to figure a lot of shit out. We're tough because nobody raised us. We got left by ourselves to figure out we literally did. Like, we were the divorce generation and our parents, like, worked and we were home by ourselves. They didn't have caregiver places then. They didn't have after school programs. It was just everybody take care of yourself. You're on your own for the first time ever. Because before that, like you said, ancestors, grandparents lived with, you know, young women, and there was this community of taking care of people. And then in the 50s, the women stayed home and cared for their kids. But our generation is the first time ever in the entire world of ever having children that people were just like, oh, kids can take care of themselves. They're fine.
Right. It's fine if they get on their bike at 8 o'clock in the morning and they don't come home until 6 o'clock at night. And who knows what they were doing, but it doesn't matter. Who cares?
And they would send us outside and tell us not to come back. Mm-hmm. Our kids now, we're like, don't walk across the street. Wait. Let me. And our kids literally like, get out. You cannot come back till sundown.
I did not raise my kids that way, by the way. I raised my kids like, go do, make your choices. I don't need to know about everything you do. And
you're unusual because we live in this society of now it went the other extreme. It went from Gen X of go do your thing. I'll see you whenever. Just don't come back until the sun goes down to don't leave my side.
I know. And that shows with my kids when they were growing up, especially my youngest, he would have friends whose parents were the helicopter parents. And I was not. And so everybody wanted to come to my house and they got into all kinds of trouble. And then it got back to me. And then I was labeled, especially after my divorce, I was labeled the bad mom, the mom that nobody wants to let their kids come to my house because I let kids go on the roof or I let them go to Walmart or let them go and do stuff by themselves that, you know, let them ride their bikes and I don't know where they're at and like that kind of stuff. And so
I'm more like that too. I remember Grace growing up because she's 13 now and everybody talking about, well, I'm not going to let my kid have a cell phone until this specific age. And I only let them play on their iPad for 20 minutes. And I was like, have at it. I've been the worst mom. And now I would say I'm a bad mom, but the reason why is because I guess maybe I hung on to those Gen X strategies of the freedom, whereas I think some people hung on to the Gen X. They had all this freedom, and they're like, that wasn't okay.
It was danger. Yeah, was there was danger.
Sure, but for me, I recognize the value in the freedom. I'm not saying that you can't parent and you can't have restrictions, but I also think that if you give freedom, then you can guide them when they make the mistake. If you don't allow them to make the mistake and you just protect them, then you can't, when they get out into the real world, they don't know what to do themselves. So yeah, for
and
me,
then, and they never leave your house.
Right. Here, you have this freedom. Prove to me that you can have the freedom. And then if you make a mistake, then I'm going to make choices that you can't have that freedom.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're getting off on a whole different tangent here. But back to what we originally talked about, which is aging as women.
Mm-hmm. We probably need to wrap it up. It's been 50 minutes and we don't like to go past about 40. But
okay, last comment on aging as women. Getting back to that topic.
I'm just ready. I'm ready. And I'm calling out all of our listeners, all the women, all the middle-aged women. Let's just do this. Let's create new tables to set up. Create whole new spaces that allow for us to be our crony little selves and in a happy movement across our society, because we have value. And it's time for us to share it with the rest of the world.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think
the value extends beyond our physical appearance. That's what I mean. The value extends beyond our physical appearance.
Yeah. I mean, I think one thing too, is we talk all the time about like accepting your body, like, you know, like owning your body, and gosh, you see so many young women doing this today. That just shocks me. But like but we don't talk about it when it comes to like our face. It's like our face and our body are two separate things, because like I see all this thing of like go out and wear the swimsuit and, you know, accept like your flaws and your stretch marks and your wrinkles and your cellulite and all these things. Accept all that and own that and be proud of it, right? You see a lot of that. But then it's like the reverse comes to a face that's like, but you need to go get Botox, you need to get lip injections, you need to get fillers, you need to get all these enhancements on your face because you don't want to have wrinkles though. But it's okay to have like the cellulite and own that part of yourself, but fix all this up here. It's like,
that's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like contradictory. It's like the face isn't associated. The body and the face are two different things. I mean, and I'm not saying that they don't suggest like, you know, surgical, like, you know, removal of fat and that, because there is, but it's not a trendy, it's not a common, as trendy as like the face stuff.
Right.
I feel like the trend is more about owning those things of your body. Like, and I see that with the younger generations. I see the heavy girls. I just watched a girl that is a cousin of my niece, and she's a little heavy and she wears crop tops and she goes on TikTok and she's dancing and doing all the things in her. And she, in our generation, no, like we would have not been okay with this, wearing the type of clothes, and they own it. They own it. And it's interesting to me that we've taught somehow along the way, we as millennial parents and Gen X parents have taught our kids to own their bodies and to be okay with wearing crop tops and being a little bit overweight, not having this perfect body, because in the 90s and early 2000s, it was, you had to have a perfect body to wear something like that. Perfect. And yes. I think my body was actually okay. And I still wasn't comfortable wearing them. I remember crop tops.
We've had this conversation.
I was like, so uncomfortable. Like, do I look too fat? And I was totally not fat, but I was so self-conscious about it. And so my whole point is, I'm not judging the girls that are doing this. I'm saying what we've done is taught them so much self-confidence because we didn't have it. So we're like, yes, wear the crop top. Who cares? Own your body how it is. Like, that's your body. Mm-hmm. That's how you were shaped to be. Own it. Great. We've taught them that, but not when it comes to the face.
Yep.
With face, all these girls, even 12, 13 year old girls are going to Sephora, getting these anti-aging stuff, feeling like their face is like not right. And I need to put
the amount of makeup, the amount of makeup. And if you look at the back of the freaking containers of all that makeup, all those chemicals are going in your body, but these girls are caking it on.
Also because they're growing and those chemicals impact them more. Uh-huh. But yeah, so it's just like, we've really done wonders with the acceptance of the body for young kids. We really have. Drastic wonders of like, own your body, be okay with your shape and size. Who cares? You know, that's who you are. That's how you were made. But then we haven't done that with aging,
yep.
with the aging aspect, which is the whole point of this conversation. And that maybe that needs to change.
Maybe it needs to change.
Yeah. Maybe it needs to be looked at. And that starts with you as an older woman saying and sharing that, just like my mom did. Luckily with the stretch mark, saying, you know what, this is normal. It's normal to have this stretch mark. It's normal to get wrinkles. It's yep. normal to get these lines on your face. It's all part of aging. It's actually pretty beautiful. It's what our body does. Just like it's yep. the stretch marks. It's what our body does. As we age, these things happen. Our body does things, but it doesn't define us. It's not who we are. We still have so much to offer as a woman. And in this place in this world, we're still like, we have way more to offer now in our 40s than we did in our 20s, because we didn't know yes. shit then. Yes. And now we have like this wisdom and this like beauty that radiates from within us. We don't need the outward appearance anymore, because the knowledge right. is beauty. But I still think that aging is beautiful, and we just have to change the way we talk about it and the way we look at it. And we're not doing that.
Yeah. I mean, traditionally, females at this age are the most confident, they're the most knowledgeable, and the self-worth crisis has really put a damper on that whole experience for us. And I'm saying no more, no more. I'm no more going to radiate insecurities, and I'm no longer going to allow society to defend or to define who I get to be at this last phase in my life. I'm not going to do it. And the self-worth crisis is gotta go. It's gotta go.
All right. Well, that's a good thing to end on. So we hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you on the next one. Bye, everybody.
Bye.